The Gabcast, a podcast about Belgab.com. Visit UFOship.com for live streaming and chat.
Hey. What's up, everybody? This is The Gabcast. Yeah. How about that? It's a podcast about Belgab.com where we talk about the goings-on at Belgab. It doesn't have to necessarily be about that. As a matter of fact, I'd say most of the show isn't really specifically about Belgab.com per se. But we also talk about things that are genre-specific to Belgab, I guess. Things of that nature. Anything you might expect to read about at Belgab.com. If you want to be on the show tonight, the phone number to call is 623-242-CAST. 623-242-CAST. That's 2278, by the way. 623-242-CAST. And you can also join us in the chat room at ufoship.com. And we'll do our best to keep up with that chat room during the show so that maybe, perhaps, your contributions to the show will not go unnoticed. I'm Michael Van Deven. We also have Curtis Thornton.
What's going on?
Otherwise known as the Mud King. And we have Jazmunda.
Hey, guys.
And because he's not as important or interesting, B-Dub. Hi.
Hey! That's not nice.
Well, it wasn't really intended to be. Factual,
someone
yes.
Someone had to say it.
Anyway, thanks for listening tonight. If you're joining us live, and for those of you who pick up the show after it airs live and get it in recorded format, thank you to you, too. So, what's going on the forum? I guess we kind of hinted at this before the show. In terms of things that are being discussed over there that, well, are of some degree of import and maybe that should be discussed here as well. And I guess the first thing that comes to the top of our minds is the Nevada rancher situation. There's a pretty nice little thread going on over there about that. And anybody who has opinions on that situation, by the way, we'd be more than happy to have you to call us. I'm sure that you'll find that we have a pretty wide variety of opinions on the matter among the four people hosting the show tonight. And so you're not going to get shouted down for, you're not going to be called a commie, anti-American pinko, although you will be called a fag. Thank you. I'm Michael Van Deven. And so call us up and we'd be happy to get your opinions on that or anything else you want to talk about. The number is 623-242-CAST. That's 623-242-CAST. So have either of the three of you been participating in that discussion to any degree?
I've lurked a little bit, but to me, the Al Sharpton and the FBI informants, the most important thread on the entire forum.
Isn't it just amazing that the president just met with Al Sharpton?
Yeah.
I think a couple of days ago, he met with his National Action Network thing. Because that's just what you do in this country. When you,
why the fuck does anyone give a shit what that asshole does or thinks? I just don't get it.
I still don't get how he has a TV show.
For some reason.
I know it's on MSNBC.
Well, it's a really unwatchable show, too. Beyond what you think of Al Sharpton, the man, or his opinions, it is just probably the worst show on TV right now. But I just kind of, I have to wonder, why is it the default position that Al Sharpton, this snitch, this fink, is just sort of the go-to guy for black issues in America? I really don't know. Well, if you're a host on the radio and you say the term nappy-headed hoes, Al Sharpton's radio show is the one you go on to grovel and beg forgiveness. Why is this scumbag in that default position? And then to find out that he's been cooperating with the very people that he would certainly go out and rail against among his community just to save his own ass on some drug charge. What do you guys think?
Well, I think he's got
Let me answer that question with two words. White guilt.
Well, you're not really allowed to acknowledge that that exists, though. Because to suggest that there is white guilt is to say that white people, because when you say that term, it's sort of a pejorative term, I guess, white guilt. So by saying it, you're suggesting that that's something white people shouldn't have, which you would be wrong about that, B-Dub. We should feel guilty. Curtis, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say he's got the balls to do it. That's why Al Sharpton is in the position he is in, whether it's being an informant or leading his coalition. It's if you have the guts to go out and do it, then you're going to, just by default, because there's not that many people willing to step up and say the things he says, right or wrong. Obviously, he finds an audience for it. I think we need the Belgab Political Action Committee.
Yeah, I'm sure there'd be a lot of financial backing there. I'm sorry. Go ahead, B-Dub.
I'd like to see Al Sharpton's resume. Because I believe, wasn't he at one point like James Brown's tour manager or something?
Isn't that part of where this whole thing played out? Because I heard a clip about him where he said if he hadn't known James Brown and worked with him, he never would have been around the associates that he turned in or wore a wire during it. Did you guys hear his...
Probably why...
That would be interesting to find out.
Had he not been around James Brown, he probably wouldn't have had a drug charge to beat.
Yeah.
I heard that there's a sex... By the way, Curtis, you sound like you're not really talking into your mic. I don't know what's going on with you over there. What are you talking?
That's weird. Well, I'm talking to a tin can. How's this?
It really does sound like it, basically.
That's weird.
Don't you guys think that Curtis sounds weird?
Yes, it does sound weird.
I mean, you're not unintelligible. It's just that you don't sound like you're speaking into a proper microphone. It'll do. I mean, don't freak out or anything.
Oh, no.
Just curious.
Well, keep talking. I'll look.
Anyway, I was listening to Opie and Anthony the other day, and someone made mention in passing of this idea that there's a sex tape out there of Al Sharpton with James Brown's wife. Boy,
no,
I got to say, I'm filling up just telling you people about that. That's, I have to say.
Where can I get this tape?
What'd you say, Curtis?
Where can I get this tape?
I have a vault at Vandeven Enterprises.
Can you put it on your BitTorrent sync?
$3.99 a piece. No, I mail them out in envelopes, manila envelopes. These are VHS tapes. Each one only has 10 minutes of tape inside it, and I mail them in manila envelopes. Parcel post. Thank you.
I like to get mail like that. So.
Yeah. So, okay. So, I guess we'll talk about the Al Sharpton FBI thing. I mean...
Sorry, I didn't mean to derail there.
Well, you know, Curtis, that's just what we've come to expect from you, these many years. I don't know. I mean, I guess my point is there's really not much that could come out about this guy that I would find shocking. I guess what's most shocking to me is that people are shocked by that story of Al Sharpton being an FBI informant. The idea, in my mind, that people haven't caught on to the fact that this guy is an untrustworthy piece of excrement, that baffles me more than anything Al Sharpton could do. You know, Jasmunda, being an Australian, you guys don't have the type of race relations at all that we do in this country, do you? I mean, I guess between the Aussies and the Aborigines, there might be some sort of a similar situation that could in some ways be called analogous, but probably not even analogous to ours.
We exterminated most of our black population early on in the piece, so we don't really have the problems that you have.
You say that with such a satisfied tone. I really have to say I'm a little concerned.
No. Actually, a few years ago, our government actually apologized to the Aboriginal population for the treatment when white people came to Australia. So
what did the white people do to them?
Well,
just the typical white people stuff?
Basically, yeah.
And gave them blankets with disease, threw them off.
There's also a thing called the Stolen Generation, where children of Aboriginal people were taken out of their homes and placed in white families. So that went on during the sort of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. So, yeah.
Were they forcibly removed from these homes?
Yeah, forcibly removed.
Why?
And, you know, to
what was the idea there?
I guess to...
to whiteify them?
Yeah, basically.
To Europeanize them?
Really?
It was just the fashion. But
the difference is that's an indigenous population, whereas I guess with the African Americans, they were sort of people that were brought into your country, you know, as slaves. So, you know, they were never treated as slaves, but they were certainly treated as second-class citizens.
So you're saying you guys killed off most of the... I guess black people of your continent.
Yeah, that happened.
And those would all be Aborigines, right?
Yes, yeah.
And but if I go on Google Images, I mean, there really are a lot of Aborigines there still. I mean,
it's a very small percentage of the population.
Is it really? Because, I mean, Google Images, you'd be led to believe that, you know, the local Walmart could possibly be owned by Aborigines.
Oh, no, no.
No?
That's to fill a quota for Hollywood.
You'd be, you know, you couldn't walk down the street and see, you know, well, not where I live anyway, or around where I live, and see an Aboriginal person, no.
So do you have the equivalent of, like, an Aborigine Al Sharpton race hustler in Australia?
There are, but not to that degree.
There's no one who's like a household name where it's like, oh, Al Sharpton's going to be...
No.
He's going to be heated over this?
It's not as a contentious issue as it is in the States either.
Boy, I tell you what, that slavery thing really screwed this country up, didn't it?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, any gains that would have been made economically through all that free labor were totally lost as a result of all the strife and just... animosity that has existed all of these years, which has gotten, I think, worse as we've moved into the modern era. I mean, if you went back, I think, to say my, it's really weird, actually. If you go back to my grandmother's generation, when she was young, I think you would probably find that black people in this country were pretty content with their lives, far more so than you would have expected, considering how horribly they were being treated at that time. And then as race relations changed and civil rights legislation came about, and, you know, my grandmother had told me repeatedly the story about there was some store a black person couldn't even go in and buy a pair of pants. I mean, it was really bad. I mean, we're talking extremely horrible treatment, but at that time, black people, I would be willing to wager, probably felt far less angry about their lot in life, and there was far less contention between whites and blacks.
Well, is that because
they
didn't have a voice?
Well, it was probably largely because they were far less educated than they are today. I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. I mean, if you're uneducated, you can't know how badly you're getting screwed. So there's got to be some... And yeah, I would agree with you, too.
Yeah, I mean, not to... flip it around and give Al Sharpton any legitimacy, but he got to be in the position he is, like I said, because he was willing to stand up. But it took other people doing it before him, and it took Martin Luther King Jr. to do what he did, to give them that whole group the comfort and ability to stand up and decide that maybe their position wasn't as good as it could have been.
The general in the chat room says it's time to reinstate slavery to make up for the losses. You know, I really just don't know.
No.
I just don't know if I can listen to the Fret Files anymore.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think it really sucks how racially sensitive we are in this country. I can just, like, just in talking to you guys right now, not you so much, Jasmunda, because this hasn't been baked into your DNA, but in this country, people are, well, I should say, white people are so afraid to talk about race. Any race hustler you listen to on TV will go on incessantly about how we need to have a dialogue in this country about race. We need to have a dialogue. We need to have a dialogue. And that is the specific verbiage that they use, as a matter of fact. We need to have a dialogue.
Well,
but then when the dialogue happens, you're supposed to shut your face and just listen to someone else lecturing you about racial matters because you couldn't possibly know what you're talking about since you're a white man.
Yeah, well, I wonder, in the 21st century, what is racism? What does it really mean? I mean, do you guys feel, you know, personally that you have any racism inside you that is an issue?
Well, how do you define the word anyway? I mean,
that's my question.
I was a kid, I always thought racism meant... I walk down the street, I see someone with skin that doesn't look like mine, and I conclude by virtue of their genetic makeup, they are inferior to me, inherently inferior.
You didn't feel that
way,
right? You just knew that. You knew that as the definition of the word. That's not the way you felt.
No, I still feel that way, Curtis. They just don't have what I have.
Well, Michael is Dutch.
Well, I understand. Okay.
No, I'm saying that's what I always understood the definition of racism to be.
Right. Well,
and I don't know one single person who feels that way. I don't think any of us know someone who really in their mind believes that a person is inherently inferior as a result of their race. Nobody believes that shit.
Yeah. The word now is a tool used to, it's like in an internet forum when you have a conversation and you bring up Hitler and you kill the thread. That's what the real life equivalent is calling somebody a racist. I don't think anyone really knows what the term means anymore. It's just a way of saying you're bad and I'm good.
Well, racism still exists. We don't live in like a post-racial world. But
I agree.
It's definitely changed. But
it's not the racism that when you say the word, that person's a racist. It doesn't mean something specific. I don't think. I don't think it's a label that fits the entire person. I think it's you've done
it
something.
Can.
That, yeah, but how I many think, people out there are actually really, you know, full on racist?
Well,
I mean, there are people out there who obviously believe that one race is superior to another. No matter what belief you can imagine in your mind, there are people out there who believe it. It doesn't matter what it is. I mean, there are people who want to have sex with kids out there. So if someone can do that, then any other crazy ideas you can come up with, someone believes it.
You're right. I mean, I'm a redhead. I come from a minority, too. So I get that, I guess.
But the question is it really racism or is it culturalism?
Or is it, do people have issues in certain specific areas and it's not an all-encompassing word? I don't think you can label one person a racist. I think you can label people with having traits, but I don't think it's a black or white issue. But like in our conversation we started off having about it, it feels like it's a black and white, an on or off situation. You know, it's you either are or you aren't. And I don't think that's accurate. I think there's all types of variations of in some situation I'm a little bit of something, but it doesn't mean I'm all of that.
What if some guy works in a gas station in a crappy town and he's been robbed 3 times this month and all 3 of the people who robbed him were black guys? And so he kind of takes a second look at a black guy when he walks by. Does that make him a racist?
No,
well, that's what I was going to bring up. Like, is it racist if you sort of walk down the street and you see a black guy walking the other way and you sort of, hold on to your bag or your wallet? Is that racist? Whereas you might not do that if you saw a white guy walking the other way.
Well, what about, let's say that I'm that convenience store clerk or gas station clerk, and I've had skinny, long-haired biker white guys have robbed me 3 times in a row. So every time I see somebody wearing the leather outfit and getting on a bike, I get a little bit uncomfortable.
You're a bikist.
Exactly. So the thing is, I think that everybody takes a snap judgment of a moment or a person. And if that person reminds them of something of their past they have experience with, they might react, outside of their typical, personality. They might exhibit fear or a variation of racism. But I don't think that necessarily makes them racist.
It doesn't. And that's where you and I both part ways with the modern race baiting movement, modern race baiting industry. Which is that if you have any thoughts of negativity toward blacks as a white person, regardless of the reasons why you have those negative impressions, you are, by definition, engaging in racism.
I think Big Chuck has a good comment in the forum, or in the chat, But go ahead. Sorry, B-Dub.
Well, what's his comment?
Oh, well, he said, I think racism is when you think you're better than everyone else. Bigotism is when you believe in stereotypes. And that makes me realize that in this whole conversation, I think being a bigot and being a racist kind of get mixed in this weird way, and we've lost the terminology in the lexicon, so it's able to be thrown out there in situations as a tool to use to shut people up. Like you said, when the dialogue happens and you have to just shut up and listen, same kind of thing is happening when you throw out the word racism or someone is a racist.
Unscreen caller says there are racists in every culture. Xenophobia is an ancient word. This wasn't just invented in the 19th century. I guess that kind of illustrates the futility of trying to legislate and regulate how people think about one another.
Yeah,
if we're talking about something that's so baked into, we are animals first of all, and we as human beings sometimes like to try and sweep that under the rug and pretend we're not. If I go to a high school and I go into the cafeteria, and I take a look, I survey the room. Even though we're way beyond any era of segregation, typically white kids are going to get together with white kids, black kids are going to get together with black kids, and so forth. And that just seems to me that as animals, that's kind of a natural thing that we do. You know, we right. we tend to gravitate toward people who are similar to us.
And, well, I think we have a. Sorry, go ahead.
And I don't think that makes us racists. It would be argued that for whites to do that, it is racist. But for blacks to do that, or for, I guess, Hispanics, that's not racist. That's part of their culture. I don't know. Just the double standard in this country. I am so sick of the racial double standard in this country. If anything, it's counterproductive. It's causing white people to have racial anger and hatreds that they otherwise wouldn't have had.
Yeah, I often wonder if I walk into a room full of Asians, whether they look at me and mistrust me being white, you know, and then is that racism on their part or are they justified in that?
Well, the big question is, should you care? Now, that's easy for a white person to say because the argument would be, well, in a society where whites control the government, whites control education, whites control the banking system, whites control everything, essentially. It's easy for the white guy to say, well, should you care what others think about you, what a room of people who aren't like you think about you when you walk in? But a black person can't really say, who cares what others think about you? Well, this is the argument, because they do not have control over the society in which they're living, so therefore it is relevant for them to care what the majority thinks about them, but it's not relevant for me to care. Do you understand? Am I making this point very well?
No, it makes sense that it's all a matter of perspective, and that would be a long-term perspective of the placement of your culture, I guess, in history. Whether you've had power or not kind of dictates whether or not you have certain feelings or if it's kind of justified to have those feelings.
I guess what I just said is sort of connected to the notion that blacks in America, or minorities in America, you could extend it beyond just blacks, are inherently and by definition cannot be racist because they don't have the power to execute their racism in policy form or otherwise.
Sure, they can.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that argument maybe held years ago, but it doesn't anymore. I mean, look at America now. You've got plenty of minorities of not just African-American that are in positions of power, whether it's local, state, federal, executive branch, all of that. I mean, so there is a way to affect change.
Do you see Barack Obama as a black guy? I don't.
No. Ironically, I think I see him as what the future is, because the whole idea of racism is irrelevant when you look at the hands of time, because ultimately there's going to be a great melting pot of everybody. And so to try to claim that you're African-American or of European culture or Middle Eastern won't matter, because at some point we all become the same.
You mean in terms of our just over time?
Right. I mean,
sort of like the movie Time Machine, where everyone is just sort of a nice brown.
Nice tan. Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a wonderful world to live in, wouldn't it? Well, and then if we could just get rid of the religion problem.
Yeah, but then people would find reasons to hate someone based on, you know, how they cut their toenails or some other nonsense.
Yeah, look at like Star Trek. I always thought it was funny that they showed kind of a multicultural humanity. But at some point, there might be different beliefs and structures that they're social structures. But you're not going to have, you know, these very clearly defined Picard who has a French name but, you know, speaks with a British accent. But he's white, or, you know, the other characters, you know, that all very specific were ethnicities. At some point, everybody kind of melds into one.
And go ahead.
No, that's
vague and nonspecific in the chat room says the percentages of blacks in prison is higher than whites. The number of blacks arrested is also higher percentage wise.
Socioeconomic reasons for that rather than racism.
I think the system is set up to sort of help that. I mean, I hadn't really thought about prisons in this conversation, but our prison system, first off, it's very corporate, which defeats the whole point of it. And I do think that it targets some of the laws and the way ways they are applied do help create that situation where one group is put in more than the other.
In other words, politicians are lobbied to pass certain laws to make certain things illegal, to keep certain people in jail, because a private corporation who's running a prison somewhere has a fiduciary interest in keeping people in prison.
Well, and I don't think it's necessarily racist. I think it's ease of ability to get the job done that they want to do.
That and, I saw a statistic recently about, people are still getting thrown in jail in New York City for having like a joint on them, even though that's basically been decriminalized. Cops are still throwing people in jail because, they got to have something to do.
As I look around, it seems to me that just the statistics and everything I'm able to absorb just in the course of my 34 years of living on this planet, it seems to me that if you are not white, you are more likely to commit a crime in terms of as a percentage of your race. Now, the question becomes, why? What is that? Is there an economic reason? Sure, there's got to be.
I think definitely economic.
Are there cultural reasons within
There's probably economic and social reasons, mm-hmm. but also like I'm going to just say it here. I've committed plenty of crimes as an adult, and I don't have a criminal record, probably because I'm white and I didn't get racially profiled.
I think that certainly helped you.
I didn't get racially profiled. Also, there's a real bias against the poor, in that if you're poor and you get stopped by the cops, you get stuck with a public defender who is savagely overworked. And at that point, you're pretty much screwed. The public defender is going to be, we don't have any resources to really, pursue justice here. So you're just going to cop a plea. And
did you guys see this case in Texas where this rich kid gets in a pickup truck with mm-hmm. stolen beer, drunk? I think he was twice the legal limit, crashes into a car that was parked on the side of the road, broken down, and kills four people. And the judge did not put him in jail. The judge simply has decided to send him to some rehabilitation center where he can recover from what's being coined as affluenza, which is apparently a psychological condition afflicting the affluent, causing them to be incapable of understanding that they too are members of society and have responsibility to follow laws and not harm those around them. So apparently if you're really rich and you grow up rich, you have affluenza. And I guess my point is, this kid goes in there, kills four people, took four lives. Imagine that, four families ruined. Four families devastated because of this piece of shit little punk. And I guarantee you 100,000%, if this were just some poor black kid walking in off the street who did the exact same thing, you know what would happen to that kid? He'd be tried as an adult and he would be charged with vehicular manslaughter and he would be hung by his neck dead. So yes, I do definitely think that if you're going into court having been accused of a crime, and I'm no bleeding heart liberal, okay? Anyone who's listened to me and the things I believe over the course of the last few years doing these podcasts knows that to be the case. But hey, there are certain realities we're surrounded by, and that case just drives it home as far as I'm concerned. If that were just some poor black kid off the street that nobody gives a shit about, his life would be over. And the judge is not even making this kid's parents pay the full freight for this rehabilitation center he's going to. They're only making his rich parents pay something on the order of around $1,000 a month for this, when the actual cost to the state, to the taxpayer, is going to be something around $700 a day.
That's ridiculous. That is, that judge needs to be thrown in jail.
They need to go back and look at past verdicts he's put out and see if there's anything in there that points to...
It's a woman. I'm pretty sure it's a female judge.
Evelyn is in the chat room. Where's my Michael and what have you done with him? Imposter. She just can't believe the these realities I'm capable of acknowledging. It's
well, I hate to bring this case up. I think it fits to show the mirror image of Trayvon Martin. And I don't want to get into the whole defense of Gonzalez.
Before you go into that, just one quick thing from the chat room. Big Chucka says it could also be smart. It could also be being smart and knowing how to conduct your business properly that's kept you out of jail. And there's something to be said there, too. You act like a dumbass and you go driving around in a car that's got expired tags and a brake light out. Hey, guess what? You're going to fucking jail.
Right.
Sorry. I don't care what color you are. Go ahead, Curtis.
Well, I was just going to say for Martin, look at how the media set him up on the right and the left. This is the kid who got killed that was being tried in the court of public opinion. If that had been a white boy that happened to, I don't think that you wouldn't have seen the two sides line up the way they did to defend or disparage the kid. He would have been another tragic child who had been killed on the streets by somebody.
By teens, by unruly teens. They wouldn't even describe the attackers as being, if it were reversed.
Right.
Well, you're not saying if it were reversed. You're just saying if it were George Zimmerman and he shot a white kid.
Right.
Absolutely. No, we would never have heard of it. We wouldn't even know the name George Zimmerman. But well, if it had been a white kid and he had been shot by a black guy who was doing some sort of community watch, we would also not have heard of the case. It would have just absolutely never made the headlines. And what's really annoying to me are these cases like this guy. I think it was up in Michigan. It may have been in the Detroit area. This guy's driving down the road. And he's minding his own business. A black kid runs into the street, and this guy hits the kid. There was nothing he could do. And rather than being some sort of an animal and just driving away, he stopped the car, did the right thing, got out to check and see if the kid was okay. And a mob of black people come and beat this white guy to within an inch of his life. He went into a coma. And, while he was down, they went ahead and stole all of his possessions, including his phone out of his car, his wallet out of his pocket. Now, is anyone going to go ahead and call that a hate crime? Is there anyone who's going to be willing to step up and do that? I tell you what, I mean, if we want to have a discussion about race in this country, if we want to have a dialogue, let's have a dialogue. Can we just have a dialogue about race? It would be so brave of us to have a dialogue. Okay, well, let's have this fucking dialogue, and it's going to be a two-way discussion. I don't like a lot of the stuff I see going on in this country racially. I'm tired of the double standard. And I think that is really, as they say, the soft bigotry of low expectations to say, well, that's just how black people behave. That's just what they do. So we're not going to go ahead and hold them to any sort of higher standard as we do whites with hate crime legislation because, well, that's just what those darkies do. That is the thinking. Even if it's not articulated explicitly in that fashion, that is subconsciously the thinking that goes in to not holding blacks to account in terms of hate crimes whenever attacks are conducted against whites on racial grounds. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
There's definitely a double standard there. I briefly, when I lived in North Carolina, considered getting an education degree and becoming a teacher. But then I'd hear these horror stories about the high school in Chapel Hill and how, like, if you were to start your class and all teachers always like, okay, you know, quiet down now. Class is starting. Shut the hell up. If they were black, you had to let them continue because in their culture, that was just how they are. They're more boisterous or whatever. And that's just, we have to be tolerant of that. And I say, wow. I was like, I don't even want to fucking...
In their culture. So that's excused. Beating the shit out of white people to within an inch of their lives is excused.
And then also there was a situation
There
was a situation where an attractive young woman was out for a jog. And some homeless guy assaulted her, raped her, killed her. He did not go to jail because his defense argued black rage.
My God. We're so fucked as a country.
Yeah.
If you people think that there's some reason to be sending people over to Iraq and Afghanistan to fight for what? This? To fight for this?
Yeah.
No, thank you.
This isn't a country
that's worth fighting for anymore. I just want to move to Antarctica. I want to live in some sort of an observation post down there, surrounded by seals.
Maybe you should join the Aboriginals.
They would hate me because I'm white.
We need to have one standard applied equally to everyone. The double standard bullshit has to stop.
The only way we could do that is if we use drones to act out the law.
Well, the problem is there are too many white people who have too much white guilt and who are too desperate to show everyone else that I'm one of the good white people. I'm not like the rest of those racist whites that you've come to know and love over these generations. No, I'm one of the good ones. So I'm going to refrain from classifying certain crimes as hate crimes whenever they are committed against whites by blacks. I'm not going to hold blacks accountable for dogfighting because, well, that's just part of the black culture. You can't understand it. Black rage, you can't understand it because with your white experience, you've not lived the experience of the black man in this country, and you've not gone through what he's gone through. So you can't even speak on the matter. You're not even supposed to have an opinion on the matter because of your whiteness. What kind of a dialogue is that? Do you want to have a dialogue or don't you? Yeah, I'm not an idiot. I'll have a dialogue with you, but
yeah,
that's not a dialogue. That's just a lecture.
I think the fear is that if we actually resolved these problems, what's next? What's the next thing we'll find to fight over? Kind of like B-Dub said, when you get to a certain point, you'll still find something else to fight over. It's in our nature to feel like we want something and someone else has it, so we have to position ourselves to seem better than them to get it.
Evelyn makes a great point. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you now or were you done?
No, I'm done.
Okay, Evelyn makes a good point in the chat room. She says, keep in mind this was a lawyer. The job of a lawyer is to come up with an argument that flies. Of course, the fact that he wasn't laughed out of court says something, but she is right that you are, in fact, guilty of, attorney malpractice. There's another word, though. Legal malpractice. If you don't vigorously defend your client on any grounds that are available to you. And that's the only thing is that he wasn't laughed out of court, really. And by the way, unscreened caller says penguins are still black and white. You can't escape it, MV. Yeah, I used to like unscreened caller until she informed me of the futility of my plans.
So, speaking of white guilt, what do you guys think of affirmative action?
Well,
and is it still practiced?
I don't really know if it is so much.
It's not technically supposed to be, is it?
But wasn't there a Supreme Court case over that recently that was supposed to like decide the whole thing? And did it go against or for affirmative action? I don't know.
It was something. I think it was a very specific application of it, and that got struck down. But I don't know that it's officially, now that I think about it, totally wiped off the slate. But there's certain arenas that you can't use it anymore.
Affirmative action was never the answer anyway. What was the answer was, if you're a black man and or woman and you want to go to school, you will be allowed into school if you qualify. And if you take the tests, you will be given the tests fairly. You will be given a proper education in order to be able to pass those tests and go to whatever educational institution you want to. But just to say, we need at least 5 black people out of the 20 we're going to hire, so we're going to have to hire 5 black people. That is just, if there's ever been anything detrimental to black people in this country, my God, it was that philosophy. And then you go to a black doctor and you, there was a Larry David bit about this on Curb Your Enthusiasm where he makes a joke to a dermatologist about how he was kind of skittish about having him look at his little thing on his shoulder because, well, he's black and he could have become a doctor as a result of his affirmative action. He was joking, but I mean, there probably is in the minds of a lot of white people out there that little voice that kind of wonders that. I've never wondered that, but I'm sure maybe among older whites.
You know, if a guy's a surgeon and he's black or whatever, no hospital is going to let someone who's you know, just plainly incompetent practice going to surgery because that's going to get really expensive with malpractice suits.
What if I'm on the table and he puts the gas on me, and right as I'm starting to go under, He looks down at me and he says, "You going under, nigga?" Do I have recourse? I don't know.
No, you fist bump and then you just pass out.
Well, what could go wrong with that? You know, something that's really interesting is just how far we have come racially in this country. I mean, my grandmother is, who's been dead now for almost 3 years. We were extremely close, and we talked about all matters of things that I don't think a lot of grandparents and grandchildren spend a lot of time talking about. I think a lot of grandchildren don't really value the wisdom and just the opportunity that's there in front of them.
That's part of the problem of the culture currently, too.
Well, I think it is among all races. Yeah. But just talking to her about how things were in those days, what life was really like for blacks in this country, and to think how far we came that in 2003, this same grandmother of mine had a quadruple bypass, and the doctor who performed the surgery was a black man, and it never entered her mind to think, wow, maybe I shouldn't have this black man operate on me. And she is of that generation. Look how far we came. I mean, mm-hmm. That is a profound advancement in terms of human thinking on a mass scale, the likes of which I don't think has ever occurred anywhere ever.
Maybe part of that is that these are all artificial constructs. So when they're taken away, it's very easy to fall back into a more natural state. I still believe we're evolved to find differences, but I don't think racial differences are what we're keyed on internally in our evolution. It's you're different than me for whatever reason that I define inside my own head. And that's why I think it was so easy to have that fundamental change, like, you know, to bring tech into it, the tech revolution or the industrial revolution. Look how quickly society changed once barriers were lifted for us. I think same thing in certain aspects of inequality, that it obviously everyone from your grandmother's generation had the ability to not look at other people as inferior in some way. As soon as some of the barriers were taken away socially, it's very easy for people to start to fall into more realistic expectations of each other. Doesn't mean it was perfect and doesn't mean everybody did that, but doesn't surprise me because I think all of it was artificially created.
Bateman in the chat room says some states like California, Michigan, and Washington have passed constitutional amendments banning affirmative action within their respective states. He's got quotes around that, so apparently he's copied and pasted that from somewhere, but I don't know from where. And who was that? Big Chucka says that Supreme Court case we were talking about earlier about the affirmative action was in Texas. A white person sued because he wasn't admitted, because he was white, I guess, admitted to a school. And Big Chucka says that's also why he was once told he didn't get a job, because he's white. Cracker?
Yeah, we need to have some of these people call in. I'd love to hear other opinions, too.
You didn't get this job because you're white, Cracker. Get your ass out of here.
Do you know where the term cracker comes from?
I always thought it was because maybe blacks thought that a white person's skin, particularly on their face, resembled the surface of a saltine.
No. Mm-hmm. It comes from the old slave owner cracking his whip.
Really? Is that really true?
Yeah. Huh.
Well, there goes my nickname now.
What's the movie, 13 Years a Slave, 12 Years a Slave?
12.
I haven't watched that. I don't know, man. As I'm getting older, I'm having trouble just sitting and watching human suffering. Is anyone else with me on that? Like, I don't know.
Human suffering as the guise of entertainment?
In any capacity, really.
I mean,
I just don't...
Like, I'm not going to see 12 Years as a Slave, not because I'm not sensitive to that, but for the same reason that I walked out of Hotel Rwanda, because it's like, you know, Hotel Rwanda... here we are 10 years after the Rwanda genocide, and we're all the white people are sitting in the theater and we're watching this story and we're feeling sensitive and informed and blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, the exact same fucking thing is happening in, Sudan or some other place. But we're doing nothing about it. Just like when Rwanda happened, we did absolutely nothing to help.
Yeah.
It's
I
just
can understand that.
It's bullshit.
I actually
they're making
just
us feel
simply,
better about who we are.
I just simply didn't think it was a very good movie. I just didn't finish it.
I just don't want to see that movie.
But going back to suffering, I think I talked on the last podcast about starting to watch Breaking Bad, and some of the situations I see on there, I'm starting to think, why am I watching this show to see people? It's not suffering on the same level, but I mean, the situations that they put themselves in that episode, maybe I'm getting more soft than I used to be. But I'm like, man, I can't imagine any of that. Sorry, it's a non sequitur.
Can't imagine what?
Being in the situations, and then I hear I'm watching somebody, you know, like some meth heads do, you know, start to torture each other or something. Oh. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm watching this for fun. That's
sure is entertaining, though, isn't it?
It is, but it's like, wow.
That's not really human suffering, though, on the order of what I'm talking about. Like, I just don't really care to watch someone sitting there being beaten with a whip. I don't know. And locked in a wooden box in the middle of a hot, just scalding hot field.
Yeah. I haven't seen Django Unchained for the same reason.
That's actually not terrible. That's a really good movie.
I've heard that's a great movie, but I just don't want to see.
There's not a lot of that. I think.
But I've heard that when there is that sort of, you know, people being whipped or whatever, that it's pretty bad.
Well, I'm trying to think back on it, on the movie, and I think I saw the movie twice, and I don't really recall anything particularly gratuitous in that regard.
I think there is a scene where someone's locked in a box in hot, quite hot weather or cold weather. I can't remember.
Yeah, but it's not really.
It's not grotesque.
Yeah, it's sort of innocuous. Anyway, is that it for our racial discussion? I think we can suffice it to say, Al Sharpton is a pile of human excrement.
Yeah.
Don Imus should never have been fired. The fact that people go to this guy with their hat in their hand asking for his racial blessing, it's really a sad commentary on the state of things in America, and I think it'll be a really great day for this country when Al Sharpton dies. Let me tell you something. I rarely sit and actively cheer on the notion of another human being dying, but there are some human beings that are so detrimental to society, so detrimental to the human beings that they're surrounded by, who have nobody's interests at heart but their own. Just bad people. Bad people exist. And Al Sharpton is a bad man. Jesse Jackson is a bad man. And these are the... And Louis Farrakhan, I would say to a lesser degree, is a bad man. And these guys really are the three household names in the race industry in this country. And when these three men die, there's really not going to be anybody who steps up to replace them as the household name that we all go to with our hat in our hand when we say, ooh, the word nigger in an inappropriate situation. There's not really going to be that guy anymore. So
yeah, maybe, you say,
maybe Kanye West will step up to the plate.
Oh, God.
But I was going to say, on the flip side of that, there was the dude who passed away recently from Westboro Baptist Church. Did you have the same feelings? Yeah, that's his name.
Fred Phelps.
Yeah. Did you have the same feelings for him?
Yeah, I was really happy to see him go. But that's a really complicated situation, though, because on the one hand, what they're doing is horrible, evil, despicable. But on the other hand, freedom of speech is specifically designed to protect unpopular speech. And, I mean, if they're inciting riots and whatnot, the big problem everybody faces is that this Westboro Baptist Church is run by people who have law degrees. These are not idiots. And so they know how to use the legal system. I think Shirley Phelps, Roper, Fred Phelps's daughter. Did we just lose somebody?
Oh, no.
Curtis?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
B-Dub? Yeah, we lost B-Dub. Anyway, Fred Phelps' daughter, Shirley Phelps, she, I'm pretty sure, is an attorney. And so these people know exactly what they can and cannot do. So they're very careful.
Did anyone picket his funeral?
I don't know.
I'm sure they did. I don't know, but
you would think that would have been big news if there were people picketing.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that, so I thought that was a missed opportunity.
Maybe it's sort of like the buses running on time. Oh, that's not news. Of course people are going to picket his funeral.
Yeah.
What do you expect? So maybe it didn't deserve to be headline news. I don't know. But they really are horrible. Did you ever see Red State?
Yeah. No, I want to see that.
Yeah.
It's based on them, yeah.
Yeah, it's, man, are those... Go watch that movie. I don't really want to describe it to you because I don't want to ruin it, but
yeah, I know enough about it, yeah, to kind of make a guess.
Yeah,
that's kind of based off of him, right?
Yeah, and of course John Goodman's inclusion in the film does nothing but good things for it. John Goodman's inclusion in anything is just
never
a bad thing. So that's the racial discussion tonight for the Gabcast. We hope you've enjoyed that. We planned all week to bring you this racial segment, and it went off without a hitch. I really have to say we are quite pleased as to the flow and direction that everything went tonight as we brought you this. I'm going to try and get B-Dub back in the conversation here. I don't know if it's going to work or not. There he is.
Hey.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add to the race situation? Do you want to let a few N-bombs fly? Anything?
No N-bombs. We were talking earlier about how when you see... someone on the street and you might react to someone that was African American, black, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call them,
right.
With fear. Part of me wants to ask the question, are you responding to their skin color or their body language? Because it doesn't matter whether black or white, Hispanic, there's like a lot of a gang or thug culture out there. People who kind of identify themselves with that kind of thug or gang culture, and they present themselves as hard and angry and kind of just openly hostile. So if you see someone with that kind of body language, it just seems natural to be kind of like, oh, I need to avoid this person. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does to me. Yeah.
Well, you take everything into account though. It's not just, you're not just taking one thing into account. I mean, we are highly advanced beings relative to the other creatures that inhabit this planet along with us. And even a deer takes numerous things into account in determining whether mm-hmm. it should run or stay and drink the water.
I mean, you've seen Deliverance, right? There's scary things out there.
It replays on an LCD that's mounted in my home on a 24-hour loop.
And your eyes are forced open?
It's mounted in front of the door. So as soon as you come in my home, what do you see? Deliverance. And it's only the rape scene.
Well, my point there is that, to go along with what you're saying, B-Dub, that the way you carry yourself has a lot, or the way another person carries themselves or your perception of it has a lot to do with how you define them in a moment.
Big chuckle.
Yeah, because I just saw a news bit about Ice Cube, and they showed like two or three images of Ice Cube, and every single one of them, he just looked angry. Just angry.
Yeah.
And
that's black
that's
rage,
like his
man.
Whole thing.
You can't understand.
That's his
it.
Whole thing.
Yeah, but the thing is that I don't know, just specifically with him, he's playing a part. I'm sure you see him walking down the street. He's probably the happiest guy you would
I'm
ever
so
see.
So pissed off to be a millionaire, you know, motherfucker.
Yeah, guarantee he's not furrowing his brow like he does in all of his photos. He's probably a very happy dude that you would want to go up to and shake his hand.
He's in his fully tiled bathroom in his shower at home that has 5 jets spraying on him from multiple directions, I think the frown probably isn't there. That's correct.
Yeah, but when the camera's on, I guarantee it's there because that's what makes him money.
But because, I mean, his audience, if they don't see that, they are like, who is this person?
Right.
But he starts looking, you know.
Man, he's starting to act white.
Well, look at Snoop Dogg.
He doesn't look like anyone they know anymore.
You know, I think like Snoop Dogg has entered the popular culture kind of in a post-racial way because he's just a funny dude all the time. He doesn't try to play the gangster thing. He plays a character that he's built up over the years. That's Snoop Dogg. I think grandmas love him, and you know, young kids who first learn about him love him, and group people who grew up in the 90s listening to rap and hip-hop love him too because he's gone past all of that.
Who doesn't love a stoner, regardless of race?
That's true.
I don't. Lock them all up, I say. Starting with Jazzmunda.
Support the prison system. prison industrial complex.
I'm looking at Jasmunda's Skype profile pic. I can see the red eyes, the squintiness. I'm very
not
displeased.
These days.
You know, B-Dub, I want to ask you, on a previous episode of the Gabcast, you were describing something you were saying about the police earlier jogged my memory here. And I've never gotten clarification on this. Did you have pot in the back inside your car? They took you to the police station. They thought you were drunk. It turned out that you weren't drunk. They sent you back to your car. You did not give them permission to search your car. And it sounded as though you were getting ready to say, had you given them permission, you would have been screwed.
On advice of counsel, I'm going to
let me ask you this. What what were you going to say that day? Because you moved on to something else or you got sidetracked?
If they had searched the car, they may have found something.
Yeah. See, you know what?
It wasn't his.
Let me tell you something. Anytime a cop asks you to search your car, no! Even if you know that there's a severed limb in there from one of the five prostitutes that you just killed, you still say no. So that if they do search your car without probable cause, if they don't follow proper procedure in the course of doing so, then your lawyer has that card in his deck to play at trial. You never, ever let them search your car.
You never go on the assumption that the cops are acting on in good faith. It's possible that if you had absolutely nothing, you know, your car was clean, you had never done anything wrong in your entire life, that if you had a cop that was a bad apple, they might plant something in your car just because they can.
We're talking about a bad cop who got caught up in the racket.
Yeah, exactly. Was he doing a Serpico impression there?
No, that was Al Pacino and The Godfather. What about a crooked cop? Got caught up in the wreckage.
So you never think the cops are acting in good faith or that they're your friend. They'll act like they're your friend to try and get you to agree to do something that's not in your interest. But yeah, don't ever do that.
And beyond all of that, I mean, what if you bought a used car and someone left something in there that you don't know about? I mean, there are a lot of things to consider. Don't let the cops search your car, people. Don't speak to the police. That's another thing people don't seem to get. You don't have to. I mean, I think white people are far more likely to understand these things than black people. And that right there is just step one in terms of answering the question as to why more black people are arrested, why more black people are in jail. I think black people probably don't, in many cases, have as good an understanding of how to use the legal system in this country.
Of their rights.
Right. Exactly. Let's boil it down, really. That's what it comes down to, I think, in a lot of cases. I think blacks are probably less likely to know their rights. I mean, if a cop comes to search my car, I'm going to tell them to piss off.
When I got pulled over, they tried to create multiple opportunities for me to incriminate myself. But I never did. I never took the bait.
Give an example.
Well, you know, when the cop was like, "Hey, buddy, it's okay if we search your car, right?" And I said, "No."
it was a foregone conclusion. Yeah, you'll let us, right?
Yeah, because he made it sound like we were friends, and it's the way he asked the question.
Yeah,
we're buddies.
You'll really be good friends with this guy when you're in jail, getting pounded in the ass by some guy named Nigel.
Yeah, Nigel.
Why Nigel?
Why Nigel?
Or Cupcake.
Cupcake. Cupcake seems a lot more plausible than Nigel, but but yeah, I mean, there were...
This one goes to 11.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it. Anyway, so that's the Al Sharpton race discussion. B-Dub had pot in his car. I want everyone to know that. And that pretty
that's
much...
That's not what I said.
He can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay, I'm
that.
Sorry. B-Dub had angel dust in his car. I want everyone to know that. The conversation is over. I don't know why you keep making me talk about
this.
It
was ayahuasca.
I don't know why you want me to talk about this. I'd like to move on.
All right.
I really would.
You want to talk about cattle?
I mean, if B-Dub has drugs in his car and he doesn't want the cop looking, that's his business. I don't know. Doesn't impact upon his ability to host the Gabcast. Which, by the way, you can call And the number to call if you want to be on the show tonight is 623-242-CAST. 623-242-CAST. I'm really surprised with the number of people listening to this show right now, with the number of people in the chat room, with the tone of the discussion we just had and the subject material at hand. I'm really surprised we haven't had any callers to discuss this.
Maybe we should test the line.
Maybe I just need to start throwing random N-bombs out during our show. I think that could get some calls. Anyway, okay, this is the Gabcast. What else you guys want to talk about? We're at the 1 hour mark. That's how long you guys usually roll here. Do you want to talk about the Nevada rancher situation that's also being heavily discussed at Belgab? I will admit that I'm not, in terms of my factual understanding of the case, I'm a little bit limited, but I do have a bit of a grasp of it.
Did you hear? It was Clyde Bundy was on Hannity yesterday. I don't suppose anyone.
He's the rancher.
That.
He's the rancher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
So
tell
he
us
called
about
in. He called in to Sean Hannity, and Sean Hannity's trying to get him to talk about what's happening out there, what had happened, blah blah blah. And Bundy was like barely intelligible. He was just rambling and kind of belligerent. Hannity was asking questions. Instead of answering, he just kind of rambled about all kinds of other shit that had gone on. And it was just like, you know, despite the fact that, you know, and this is basically what Bundy was saying, is despite the fact that they gave them everything they wanted, he still wasn't happy because they wanted more. Like, apparently he'd asked the sheriff to disarm the Park Service Rangers or the Rangers that were out there. I don't know who the Rangers were. As in Bureau of Land Management Rangers, I don't know.
Yeah, that was.
He said that he wanted the sheriff to take their weapons, and I was like, "How is that going to work? How does that happen?"
Yeah,
does a sheriff disarm a federal agency? That's never going to happen.
Well, technically, they'd have jurisdiction, though, don't they? As soon as those federal employees stepped off of federal land, then the sheriff's deputies would have precedence, wouldn't they?
To disarm a federal officer? I don't think so.
Well,
I don't know.
I guess they'd have to show some cause that they're threatening. I was just thinking that would be tried in a local court first. There might be a federal case to happen later, but
you got a bunch of guys with like pistols, right? And then you've got a bunch of guys with sniper rifles. Sniper rifles, it seemed to me like all the ranchers were the guys out there with rifles and scopes and for an excuse to shoot people. Those guys with pistols were not a threat to the ranchers.
Did you see this as, I mean, I know there's a lot of things going on with it behind the scenes in terms of who has grazing rights and in what area and federal government getting involved in this guy's life, but did you feel like maybe the Patriot movement and the militia movement were looking for a reason to have their Waco happen?
Yeah.
And that was surprising to me.
Absolutely.
You say that, though, almost as if you're suggesting that there was no legitimate cause here for anybody
to be upset. No, I think there was legitimate cause to be upset. There was a bigger issue there, too. But to use Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste, I think you saw the militia and Patriot movement not letting this. They're taking advantage of that Bundy guy by going out to his situation and making it bigger than it needed to be. The guy needed to have a bigger voice, but he didn't need to have armed militants standing there with him. There was a shot I saw over the weekend of a sniper up on a highway pointed down towards the deputies and federal officers. I really don't think they needed to have sniper cover to fight this dispute.
Well, also in 2014, do you not understand the futility of sitting on a hillside as a sniper? You could be droned any second.
Yeah, I guarantee they had drones there. It was federal land, right? So
I think the bigger question here is, should the federal government own and control so much land? If you go to a state like Utah, I don't know what the deal is in Nevada, but if you go to a state like Utah, something on the order of like 80 or 85% of the land in that state is owned by the federal government. I'm sorry, that is just criminal. That is not how this country is supposed to work. The people are supposed to own the land, not the federal, not some face. Well, and by the way, if this government, which is supposed to be of, by, and for the people, does own the land, does that not mean that inherently we the people can use the land?
Right. Well, that's the problem, is that the people have forgot that they are the government.
They're afraid of the government. I think that's why I like what happened in Nevada a few days ago, because it gives me hope that the American people at least aren't willing to just sit back and take whatever's dished out to them. And there has to be, we have to make sure that the government fears us to some degree. I don't understand what the reluctance is to go back and look at human history and make the determination as to what it is that happens when governments don't fear their citizens on some level.
Well, it kind of goes back to our conversation about reforming our government. As long as the same people are in power, they're going to keep instilling fear in the population. And something like this, that what happened on this ranch, I don't know that it was necessarily the best situation to get what you wanted to have happen out of it, which is the American people wake up, because it got just like Al Sharpton would have done in a situation that would help his goal and agenda. The same type of people on the other side use this for their agenda, and it spiraled bigger than it could have been or than it should have been. And so I think either way, it doesn't end up changing the pop culture. We're all still interested in where this plane that's been missing for so long, and if the black box is dead. We care more about that than we do about our rights being infringed upon by our government.
By the way, Curtis, have they found that plane?
I don't think so. I haven't heard the latest thing today.
I was being sarcastic.
Oh, yeah, they did. It's on the island. They went back in time.
Well, that seals the deal for me. Okay, well, I don't know. I think all I really have to say about the Nevada matter is the government shouldn't own so much land. People should be able to own more land. It's artificially driving up real estate costs, I think. I mean, the value of land, is it not being artificially inflated by the fact that the government owns so much land?
I think a lot of the land in Nevada is probably not inhabitable, and you have to remember they did a lot of testing of nuclear weapons in Nevada.
Well, sure, that's an obvious case, of course.
So, you know, a lot of that land is borderline useless except for blowing shit up with insanely powerful weapons.
But a lot of it's not also. And I mean, if you've ever been to Utah, there's some really awesome geological features throughout that state. And to think that 80 or 85% of that is owned by the government, there's just something wrong with that to me. I'm not sure the government should own land. Own land? What? I mean, what does that even mean, the government owns land?
They should protect land, but not own it.
Well, I guess, whose definition of protect would we be using?
You're right. I mean, they should be protecting it for us, which should be, we are protecting our land. Can I take the conversation a different direction? Just because I'm interested, and I think I'd like to hear if you guys are familiar with, well, I'm sure you're familiar with it, but what your opinions are, to kind of bring it an Art Bell direction.
Please do.
Okay. The last couple of days I've been listening on, I think it's Advent Radio on Shoutcast, the old episodes of Art. It seems like they're on a Area 51 what's his name? The guy who claimed to work out there for years.
Lazar.
Yeah, Bob Lazar. And then there was a guy who claimed to have, in Ohio, built a rocket and then got called up by the government and sent out to Area 51 and got to see this engine that they had out there. Yeah. What do you guys think? I was wondering, what's the current state of that guy? What's he doing? What's Bob Lazar doing? Do you guys have any ideas?
Bob Lazar owns a scientific supply company in Michigan, and Adair, I think, is probably in a mental institution.
Okay, as I was listening to it, I was trying to project what I thought their current lives were, and I figured that Lazar is probably in jail, but I had no idea. No, I'm saying that's what I projected to where I would expect him to be, not because of his secrets he knew, but just the way he acted. I could see him doing something nefarious. I thought I'd heard a story at one point that he had gotten in trouble, but So do you think their stories were BS?
Oh, yeah,
I know I'm lumping them together, but
Adair's story is just ridiculous, and Lazar's isn't much better. There's no evidence for either one. It's all hearsay. It's some guy rambling, running his mouth, and then people accepting it as fact. And I don't know why anyone would do that.
Well, okay. So my next question, Lazar, before this happened, before he did his TV interview with Knapp and everything got big, do you think he was sitting around with friends telling jokes that ended up spiraling into something bigger? Or do you think he planned? Maybe, do you think this was all worked out in his head and he was going to grab his 15 minutes?
Yeah, I think he just started as kind of a lark, and then he was like, oh, this might actually have some legs. I don't know.
That's been on my mind since I've heard two episodes in a row that were of that theme. So I couldn't wait to get on the air to talk to you guys about it.
I mean,
go ahead.
It makes me wonder, like, psychologically, what's going on with Lazar. Like, you know, given that everything that he said happened is nonsense, why would someone do that? Is it just because it seemed entertaining? Or does he have some deep-seated psychological need for people to think that he's super smart? I don't know.
See, that when I think of, like, Richard C. Hoagland, I put him in the, he really needs to be validated for how smart he is.
Yeah.
So he buys into the whole thing for that reason. And so, like, with Lazar, does he fit that kind of mold? Or is he a guy who just got wrapped up in something a little bit bigger than he meant to? But then the other guy, he tells such an elaborate story in such a great way. He is either completely crazy, it really happened to him, or some third thing that I can't even come up with.
He's completely crazy.
Yeah.
I must say, it was very entertaining. And I'm not sure whether if someone came on Coast to Coast now with a story like that, whether it would be, I mean, as either believable or entertaining now. I think it was something about the magic of the 90s and sort of open line calls where anything could happen.
Yeah, well, that's a great point, because things like that don't happen on Coast anymore, right? That's the big issue between Nori and Art, is that people don't show up anymore and spin tales.
Yeah.
Even if it's not, you know, it's not true, you buy into it for a couple hours.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And the other thing too, that I was thinking about in this, I purposely didn't go start researching these guys because I wanted to hear what you guys had to say about it. But, the difference of today versus back in the 90s when Art was in his prime, what do we have now that's different than what we didn't have then? Is being able to search on Wikipedia and Snopes, is that really the key there that's different? Because that's just people writing stuff too. That could be misinformation. I'm just throwing that out there as a... Yeah.
Look, the information wasn't readily as available, whether it's true or not, on the internet in those days. So it's a bit of that, and it's a bit of Art Bell. I think he brought a lot to the table, and the way he could draw things out of an interview or out of an open lines caller, know which ones to run with, know which ones to hang up on.
You know something? I think even with the internet as it is today, the ubiquity of information, the accessibility of information, even with all of that, if Art Bell were back on terrestrial radio every night on a regular basis, doing what he does, even with all of that, I think that a whole new generation of people would be sucked right in.
Well, here's the thing, that would a whole new generation of people discover the value of the art of telling a good story to Art Bell, and therefore help create an audience because they did that. And right now, there's no venue to come up with an out of this world idea and then present it in a theatrical manner. The best we get was Chunga. I mean, he's the closest, I guess. Right, that was his name, right?
James Chunga.
Yeah, that guy was the closest there was to somebody trying to spin a story, except he was a snake oil salesman in the process. But luckily he's not a Taint Co. personality, right?
He's on the board of directors.
Fine. Oh, is he?
Yeah,
okay, Jimmy Chunga. Maybe there is something redeeming about him then. He's not...
Jimmy Chunga is not associated with Taint Co.
I'm just worried that Tanko is associated with Tanko. You know, I think that's the big problem. I just
well, no one's perfect.
I ordered a crate of it, but.
A crate of Taintco?
Yes.
I'll have some Taintco goop, please.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this shit. I've got a 5-gallon bucket of Taintco goop sitting here. My wife's telling me to use this shit or get rid of it. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I found so many uses for it. I put it in my hair. Yeah,
it makes a great mustache wax.
Yeah, it's great.
It's also an effective engine degreaser.
My wife thinks it smells like dead squirrel.
Really? Because my wife said I smelled great.
Okay, I think the show's over. Anyway, this is the Gabcast. We appreciate everyone who tuned in tonight live. Is there anything before we actually blow this thing up? Anything anybody wants to throw in the mix? Okay, yeah. I'll take that as a no. Way to jump in there,
by
guys.
By the way.
Yeah.
No. I'm done.
Okay.
We're not going to have a quick poop story about anything?
Oh, yeah. You got to do that.
I have an engagement to go to.
We don't.
It supersedes any poop story you could possibly.
We don't have to do that.
By the way, telephone recommendation. I just got I don't know if it's necessarily a recommendation so much as it is a stay tuned for the next spec sheet episode where I will go into detail as to my impressions of my new Galaxy S5 on T-Mobile.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And unlimited internet?
Unlimited, and thus far I am very impressed with the network.
You live by an interstate.
Well, I just, before I walked in, I got this phone literally about an hour and a half ago. About 2 hours ago. And just before I came into the office here, off of the 4G network, about 35 megabits per second down.
Do you want to go ahead and do a spec sheet now?
Yeah. Anyway, thanks. No, I don't.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, it's been a pleasure. Jasmunda B-Dub, the Mud King, I'm MV. This is the Gabcast. Thanks for listening tonight, everybody. Have a good night. See you guys later. Take care.
Good night.
Good night. Bye.
The Gabcast, a podcast about BellGab.com. Visit UFOShip.com for live streaming and chat.